The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we're back. Or actually, we're back. For the second half of the program, we talked to Pat Forte earlier. We'll talk to Scott Rabelais on the LSU spring game. A lot of coverage of Brian Kelly's first season, understandably. But did you see the crowd at the Southern Cal game? They really packed it in, more than 45,000 people. Of course, tickets were given out free. A lot of excitement about Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley. Let's continue and check out Steve, who is in Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are well. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I've talked to you before, especially about the NIL mess, and I told you I hadn't made a decision myself on it, but the more I look at it and the more I follow it and read about it, I am totally, totally against it. I think it's open to corruption. I think it's open to smaller schools, football really, you know, going downhill. And just look at the number of players in the NFL that came from smaller schools. And the larger schools, once again, just like with the playoffs, are going to have the advantage here, not anyone else. And that's, you know, that's just my opinion. But as I look at it, so far, everything that my friends and I have talked about has come true. And once you open Pandora's box, you can't close it. Like the guy from Sports Illustrated says, I go along with him 100% on that.
Thank you very, very much, Steve. But here's the problem. It's open now. And it really doesn't matter anymore how it got open, because I think the answer is obvious. What can be done? And I don't think very much is going to be done. You can try to fix it from within, but often the best way is a complete implosion. And that would force people to do it, to put it back together again in their own way. And we are heading toward a super conference. We're heading toward a survival of the fittest, where the best schools compete and everyone else goes and finds some other means, which is really where we are now. What are the odds of a Cincinnati, who made the playoff last year, breaking through, doing what they did, and ultimately winning the national championship? I mean, when is the last time we had an outlier win the national championship? Think about that for a second. I know BYU won it in the mid-80s without ever beating a good team. Since then, I don't think it's happened. You had a couple of split national championships. You had Georgia Tech, you had Washington, even Colorado got in there. But those are all come from major conferences. I don't think we really appreciate what Cincinnati accomplished last year, getting as far as they did and against all the odds that they were up against. Let's continue. How about John in Louisiana? Hello, John.
How you doing today, Paul?
We're doing great.
Good. Look, I was sitting there watching the LSU spring game. And of course, by the way, I had to stream that. You're talking about streaming, you know. You got to get the ESPN app to stream it, which that cost you money. Sure. And while we're on that, by the way, I also have the SEC Network. I had to pay extra on that. And the reason I have the SEC Network is just to listen to you every day. So I thought I'd tell you.
Hey, thank you. Let me ask you out of curiosity, because I assume this is with a cable. How do you pay extra to get something like that?
Well, you have to you go in and you have – on a smart television, you have to an app, of course.
I get it.
And then on – you got me? Because this is all above my – that was all
yeah,
above
no,
my
– Yeah, no, yeah, I was changing televisions at some point, and the guy was trying to convince – I think there was trying to talk me into either YouTube or something else, and I'm sure that's where the choices come in. I was just curious. So you can tell I don't know much about the industry that I'm in.
That's all right. Don't feel bad. Look, I have a couple of questions about this wonderful transfer portal. I was just curious. Let's say that I'm a third-string quarterback, and we play in the spring game, and it's just kind of inevitable that I'm not going to get to play a whole lot in the fall. So I decide that I'm going to enter the transfer portal. Okay? Now, can I do that after a spring game or not?
Yes. Right now, I believe let's talk about the SEC. I believe that next week is the deadline to be able to do it, to play for next season.
Okay, so there is a deadline.
Yeah, there's not much of one, but at some point you just, and there's a perception out there, and somebody correct me if I'm off on this, because I could be, that you can just jump in anytime you want. But what we're talking about there is what's going on right now. It's late. We're at the end of April, and coaches need to know what they're doing. So the idea of a coach losing a player today, there's not much you can do about it. Spring football's over. There'll be players out there working out, but there are not going to be too many more organized practices until late summer.
Now, I think I already know the answer to this, but let's say I tell the coach and I'm going to enter the transfer portal, and then all of a sudden nobody picks me up. Can I go back to the coach and say, which if he's a pretty good coach, I know what he'd tell me. But can I go back to the coach and say, look, I've changed, nobody picked me up. Can I still play ball here?
Yeah.
I know.
John, I think
you can do that.
I don't think there's a steadfast rule. I don't think. So let's say you're an LSU player and you go up to Brian Kelly and you say, listen, I'm thinking about joining the transfer portal. Can I come back? I know what I would tell the kid. I would tell the kid, no, you're gone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Once you start. Yeah. It's like, let me try this with, I don't know, if would using a wife or girlfriend a good example?
Probably not.
Okay, I'll leave that one out. Let me go, hey, I've been married 15 years, met a couple of nice young women. Do you have any objection if I go out, take a two-week break, just so I want to test the field here?
Right.
I'm thinking about trying.
Hey, one more question. Y'all gonna come to Baton Rouge next year?
You know what? We better. We haven't been to Baton Rouge in a couple of years, and some of that was internal. There was always an issue, but I would bank on us coming down there. I really hope so. I can't, because I'm a fan of Brian Kelly. I know that sounds strange. I wasn't always, by the way. I want to make that clear, but I became a fan. I've become a fan over the last couple of years.
Well, if you get down here, we might have to come up here and see you. We'll probably be able to go to the ball game because the tickets are today going expensive to be more. But
I'd come up here and see you. Thank you very, very much. Jamari's telling me that Georgia had a player, an offensive lineman, that went into the portal and came back. So I think it all depends on how good you are. Yeah. And I think every situation is different. Let's say somebody's on the show here.
Okay.
This may cut a little close to the cord, but he says, I'm leaving. I took a job somewhere else.
Hmm.
Why would somebody want to do that? Do you have any idea?
I would.
2 weeks later, he comes back.
Okay.
Changed my mind. Would you take him back? Randy says no. This is where I would really like to be able to ask the guys in the other room. Jamari's on the fence. What about the other guy? Bram says case by case. Okay.
Lou says he's out.
Lou says he's out? Okay. I don't hear Lou as like you do. Got bad news. Not coming back. We're taking a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's continue with more phone calls. Jim is in St. Louis. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Paul. I think the caller before had the question about if a player went into the portal,
right,
if he could decide to come back to his old team, and he can. We just had that happen here in St. Louis at St. Louis University basketball.
Okay.
We had our point guard a week ago went into the portal, and Just yesterday, he came back and said he wanted to come back, and they really wanted him. They wanted him he's back.
But Jim, isn't it more of a supply and demand situation where if the school, I think you have when you decide to leave, I think it's a matter of you informing the coach, or maybe not informing the coach. But I think there are special circumstances where you tell a coach that you have a good relationship with. But I think most of the top coaches are not going to be so lenient.
Well, I mean, this young man, he still stayed, enrolled at school, and he had gone, he had got his NBA draft evaluation. Right. And then
basketball is a little bit different too, where you can announce for the NBA and come back as long as you don't.
Right.
Sign.
Right. Exactly. And that's what he got his evaluation, and then after that, he declared for the portal.
Right.
And there was a lot of rumors that Tennessee wanted him badly and was going to offer him, I think, $200,000.
Okay.
But he's a point guard, and he's from St. Louis, and he just decided yesterday he was going to stay.
Well, that is very interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with more phone calls. Swayze is up next.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're having a good Monday.
Thank you. Thank you, Swayze.
Yes, sir. So I'm calling about the NIL. And a few years ago, I believe it was some players at Northwestern had tried to start a union
yes.
for the football players.
Correct.
And obviously that did not follow through. And I think really what it came to is because they weren't bringing any income in. But now with NIL, you see that could be a way for money to be more or less distributedly, like more evenly across the board for the offensive linemen and for the defensive linemen to make more of an equal pay as far as the star guys. You think that would be a likely scenario or not really?
Yeah, I the union situation was interesting. And I talked to a coach the other day who said, hey, the NFL has a collective bargaining agreement. They have unions. It's possible we could see some of that. I wouldn't. The reason Northwestern tried it for this reason, they're a private school. It was virtually impossible to try that at a state school. And they got pretty far along with it. I think even the coach, Pat Fitzgerald, was somewhat supportive, where coaches almost have to be nowadays, no matter what the players are doing. Let's check out Josh, who is up next. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul. Hey, so with Neil and the transfer portal, if you was the guy to make the decision, how would you fix both of those situations?
Well, listen, there's no Alabama has done it recently as well. I think it comes down to a depth issue. And I think I'm sitting there in a coach's position. Remember, the coach has put that player in the position. It's one thing for a starter like Burks from the Georgia National Championship team to say, you know what, I'm leaving. I'm going to Alabama. He's not coming back. But if you're the second string lineman at Alabama, and let's say they don't have, they're short in depth, and you go to Saban and say, listen, I want to look around, and he may say, I can't promise you you'll have a spot when you come back. In one kid's case, he did because of a lack of depth. But so I think it really comes down to the situation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Thank you very much for your call. Let's check in with Jay, who is in Mobile. Hello, Jay.
What's going on, Paul?
We are great. Thank you.
All right. I just want to respond to JK.
Right.
He just runs his mouth a lot. I mean, his team ain't even in where anybody's even talking about them. Miami was good back in the day now when Miami, when Jimmy Johnson coached them. Anyway.
Are we doing this by Morse code or are we having a conversation? Matthew is up next in Texas. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Hey, before I get to my point, did you receive my Easter card I sent you?
Matthew, when did you send it?
I sent it the week of Easter. It's just a picture of my family in front of a fireplace. And just anyway,
oh my
I sent
goodness.
It.
I did receive it. Okay, I remember it now. I was thinking about, I did get it, and I can't thank you enough. My wife asked me, so who are these people? I said, these are friends of mine in Texas.
Said,
so what's it to you?
My wife said, don't send that. He has no idea. Maybe I'll talk to him someday.
I get so little mail that I do remember that very well. I got it last week.
Well, great. Hey, I just want to make an observation about Stetson Bennett and then a quick comment about Jimbo's ethics. First about Bennett.
By the way, my wife also wondered if that was my second family. I told her it wasn't. Quit being nosy.
There you go. I agree with Shannon from Georgia. I do believe that Bennett is, you know, he's cut from a different cloth. And reason I say that is because I believe that he understands that he's bright enough to understand he more than likely does not have a future in professional football. And I think I honestly just believe the kid loves football and loves to play football and just wants to play ball. And I think he knows that he's sharp enough, his financial future secure. And but I also believe that when it comes down to if Kirby believes he has a shot at the playoff, he absolutely bench him if he has to, whatever he has to do.
I think you laid it out correctly. And what I think is right and what you think is right is not necessarily what Stetson Bennett thinks is. And the one thing you have to say about him, he earned the right to do whatever he wanted to do. And it is to play. Well, again, Matthew, thank you again for you have a beautiful family, which you already know, but I thought I would pass that along.
Well, thanks, Paul. You have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much, Matthew. You ever get something in the mail, you go, what's the deal? Matthew just solved a mystery that I've been having for about a week and a half.
I have gotten
this. And sometimes you go, do I know the? Yeah, okay. I mean,
yeah. You just need your memory jog.
Well, you need somebody to say, did you get it? I got invited to a wedding today from a caller. Remember this caller about a couple of months ago that called in and said he was getting married? And I said, well, invite me to the wedding. Of course, do you, anybody want to have any idea when the wedding is? It's like the, it was close. It's like the second Saturday in October.
No, we don't get married during football season.
Yeah,
that's what the off season.
One of my coworkers. I mean, this isn't just somebody that I work at a sales office with. Okay, sure. This was a sports writer.
Getting married in football season.
About when was this? 25 years ago, whatever it was. This guy tells me, I'm getting married on October 18th. I go, you realize what date that is? He said, yeah, I cover college football. I know what date that is. It was the day of the Tennessee-Alabama game. So, I mean, I looked at him like, are you crazy? I won't mention his name. And so I said, yeah, I mean, I think originally maybe he wanted me to be in the wedding because I did introduce him to his wife. I had set them up. So I felt like I was part of the, so I fortunately the wedding was like at, I don't know, maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The game started at that's back when games started at reasonable, like a 1:30. So it was over about 4:45. I literally was at Legion Field. It means it was probably 30 years ago. And I went to the game, hightailed it out, and got to the church in time for the reception. But it was, a sports writer who covers the sport to get married. It's one thing if just some, like, fan in New Jersey where these people live. Anyway, we're heading to a break. We have a lot to do. We will continue with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. So much conversation about Brian Kelly and their spring game this weekend. Let's talk to Scott Rabelais, who's been writing about LSU for many, many years. Always good to have you on, Scott. Thank you for your time. And tell us about what we learned this weekend about the LSU Tigers. Good afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon, Paul. Well, yeah, we learned they still have a ways to go in some areas. You know, the offensive line was not looking very good at first at all, and the defensive line was only using a couple of base fronts, and they were able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks. And it was an offense versus defense kind of spring game because they just don't have the numbers yet. You know, they still are trying to add some transfers and bolster their depth. We learned John Emery does look good. The running back who sat all last year, academic issues, looks like he's going to be their bell cow. He wasn't 100%, but he still played and he ran the ball well. And they still have some strong depth of running backs there. We learned that the quarterback position is far from settled. The defensive front I think will be very good. Maybe people aren't thinking of it that way, but probably one of the best in the SEC. So. Some good, some bad, some incompletes, I think, for LSU, which is to be expected given the coaching change and the fact that they had so few scholarship players left by the end of last season.
Let's start, Scott, with the quarterback situation. Break it down for us as you saw it Saturday, and what do you think it all could mean?
Yeah, I mean, you have four quarterbacks, three prime contenders to be the starter. Miles Brennan, of course, is back for his 17th season. He's on the Tom Brady plan at LSU. I'm only being slightly facetious. He's been here since 2017. Jaden Daniels, the transfer from Arizona State, who was a starter there, and Garrett Nussmeier, who played some last year and is back for his sophomore year. Then you have Walker Howard, who's a freshman who likely will redshirt and is probably going to be willing to wait his turn. Everybody threw a touchdown pass. Everybody had their moments. I think Nussmeier looked good. There's a lot of talk throughout the spring that Garrett Nussmeier looked really good and maybe at times the best of the quarterbacks. And he threw for a good number of yards and a good percentage and looked pretty good throwing the ball. My money is still on Miles Brennan at this point because of maybe it's just the familiarity factor, but his experience and his ability to get them in the right play and be able to handle the offense, which is new to everyone, of course, with Mike Denbrock coming in to run the offense for Brian Kelly. But then you have Jaden Daniels, who is that classic run threat option. He early on in the scrimmage, maybe the first play, he took off on a scramble that he whistled down after about 8 yards. But in a real game, it could have been a 20-25 yarder, and he had several of those. And he definitely gives you that dimension that the other guys don't. Not saying the other guys are statues or anything like that, but he does give you that dimension. But he did not throw the ball as well as the other quarterbacks. Brian Kelly mentioned during the spring game that they've been working on his footwork, and I think it's affected his passing. So he's kind of a work in progress. So maybe I think he's kind of got – if he can get it all together, he might be the guy, and some people think he might be. But at this point, my money's still on Miles Brennan. But the biggest thing is, Paul, they're trying to keep all these guys happy, keep all these guys feeling like they have a chance to be the starting quarterback so that they don't lose someone to the transfer portal again.
Good question. Scott, let's pull the camera back for just a moment and talk about Brian Kelly. And we've spoken to a lot of people that that have been in, out, and have had mostly positive things to say about the access and about Brian Kelly. You live there. You cover the team on a daily basis. What has it been like for you?
Yeah, I wasn't out there every day of the spring because you're doing different things during the spring. But he's been. We've gotten to talk to him. We've gotten to talk to coordinators, which is something that hasn't been done here for a long time, except maybe like at bowl games, and get their perspectives on how things are developing. There were some practices. The whole thing was open, which has also been a little bit different. And he's been more personable than I expected. I expected someone to be a little more dour and maybe more Nick Saban-like or kind of Sean Payton-like until Sean Payton retired and then he became everybody's friend of the media. But he's shown a little more personality than that. Now it's been March and April. Obviously, the heat's not on. They haven't lost a game or anything like that. And I realize all that. But he's shown that in some ways hasn't been well received. The whole speech he gave at the basketball game when people thought he was trying to affect a Southern accent. I was there. I didn't notice it, but I understand why people said that. And then dancing with recruits and stuff like that, maybe no publicity is bad publicity, especially when you're trying to build a program. I don't know, but he's shown more well-roundedness than I expected than just being, I'm a football coach, I'm between the lines, I'm doing this. He's very CEO-like. He's watching. If something goes wrong, he's going to let somebody know, but he's observing all the different position groups and not in there. Ed Orgeron was in there coaching the defensive line, even though he had a D-line coach. Nick Saban, of course, was coaching the DBs. But he's more watching and trying to run everything and creating a culture, trying to create an atmosphere of, as he said, better communication. He said the communication around here was very poor. Accountability for the players, making them more responsible, making them more organized. And so there's a lot of different things he's trying to do. And I think so far to a positive result. And now, as he said, now all these things, how many wins will that equate to this fall? No one really knows. But I think it should be more than what they had last year.
Scott, just in terms of the program, he's an organizer. We hear about how different that is. What is your sense just from a recruiting standpoint, though, which is ultimately critical?
Well, you know, he's got to you know, win over some hearts and minds. Now, he at Notre Dame, he's been spending more than a decade having to recruit all over the country, and I think LSU still will do some of that. But you know, traditionally LSU has focused on this region of the country, from East Texas over to the Florida Panhandle, maybe some into Georgia, you know, or some of the other southern states, and occasionally you go, you know, a little farther afield. And of course, if it's a transfer, well, you know, that can come from anywhere, but. Yeah, he's out there trying to sell the program. I read a story. It's not something I know firsthand, but Arch Manning's high school coach said that he was the most engaging coach who's come to recruit Arch Manning so far. I still think there's no chance in the world Arch Manning's going to wind up at LSU, you know. But I think it's maybe he's given him a little more to think about, you know, in the recruiting process, and so. You know, I think he's got something to sell in terms of, you know, he's built a winner everywhere he's been. You know, players, he feels like he can, you know, get them where they want to go, which of course for most of them is the NFL, and try to, you know, he exudes confidence. I mean, you know, he said he came here because he wanted to, you know, coach elite players in an elite conference at a school that has elite potential to compete with anyone, and that's obviously the implication is that something he couldn't quite do at Notre Dame, and that he's grasping that, and he wants people who share that vision and want to be part of that, and if you make that connection with the right players, it'd probably be onto something there.
Scott, before you go, you mentioned Arch Manning. Why not Arch Manning? Why would he not seriously consider LSU?
Well, you know, the Mannings, obviously, they all live in New Orleans. You know, they've stayed there since, you know, Archie played for the Saints. There's just never been any seeming like connection. You know, obviously, Peyton came out at a time when LSU was, kind of down. And then Eli, you know, he went to Tennessee. And Eli, you know, wanted to go to Ole Miss and kind of follow in Archie's footsteps. And, then, of course, there's just been the perception that LSU doesn't develop, you know, quarterbacks well, you know, that they've inherited some quarterbacks that got them to transfer in, like a Joe Burrow, of course, but that it's not been the place where you want your career to take off the most. Now, Burrow has probably changed that narrative so much, but it's a new staff, of course. But there just seems to be not an outright disdain on the Mannings' part, but just not any kind of affinity for LSU. And you kind of get the impression it's going to be a kind of a collective decision, and you'd like to think the young man's opinion will matter the most. But the schools you hear most are like Texas and Alabama and Georgia, and I think those are probably the more likely destinations. Maybe Brian Kelly can change that narrative, but it just seems like there's just nothing there that really is going to be the draw. Unless he can, you know, show him something that he can say, hey, this is the place for you where you're going to develop the best, then maybe he can.
If he does, the narrative will change if he gets Arch Manning. You know that better than anyone. Scott, thank you. Great to have you on.
Thank you, Paul.
Scott Rabaway. I don't know Arch Manning well enough to tell you what he's thinking, but you do have to wonder if the past really matters, as some great writer in that part of the world once said. Past isn't the past. It's not even dead. We are past the break, so we will come back. Past is prologue, isn't it?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here late on Monday afternoon, and Jeff is next up in Columbus.
Jeff. What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Hey, I checked out my cable bill. We actually get a discount up here, Paul, for the SEC Network.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I mean, if you sign up, you get a $10 discount on your bill for the SEC Network. You guys must be trying to drive numbers up, try to compete with the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, right now, Jeff, we can't. The Big Ten afternoon program, which I think today is Purdue versus Nebraska lacrosse, is probably beating us.
I don't know, man. I think those viewership numbers, you guys, because it just means more down there, Paul. You guys got to get the numbers up to prove it, don't you?
We have so many people watching this show, not from outside the SEC footprint. It's scary, Jeff.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Paul, refresh my memory. About a month ago, was Saban and especially the Bama fans all up in arms over Jimbo Fisher and his annex over there at Texas A&M? Am I remembering that right?
Yes, you are.
I mean, we're going to have to start calling Saban instead of Nick Saban. We're going to have to start calling him Jimbo Saban, the way he's running this transfer portal. I mean, I'm hearing reports all weekend that they're going to, their next guy is going to be some tight end from Utah. And hell, the guy's not even in the portal yet. Does that mean they're talking to these guys before they even enter the transfer portal? I mean, they surely aren't doing that, are they?
Jeff, I have no idea. You would think I'm
I mean, you
I'm
can
an
talk
insider or something.
I mean, does that guy have that ankle bracelet on you again today, Paul? About if you say anything bad about Saban?
We're having. Can you hear him, Randy? We're having some static in the air.
I think it's a call drop.
Yeah, when you mentioned Saban, it like the jammer starts working.
I mean, the jammer went off when I mentioned Saban and anything corrupt. I mean, come on, Paul, give us the
All
truth.
All of a sudden, I got like an electric shock in my ankle about when I didn't answer the question positively.
But I'd just like to hear your boy Legend and all these other big Bama, Joe from Red Bay, or is it Joe from Redneck? I can't remember. But let's see what old Roll Tide Roll Joe has to say about Saban and his antics in the transfer portal. I'd just like to see how up and up he is on that ball.
Jeff, not to sound too lawyerly here, but do you have any evidence at all, or are you just throwing something up against the wall and hoping it sticks?
Well, no, all these Bama, these quote-unquote Bama insiders said that basically this guy was the next transfer that they were going to roll in, and how, you know, all these Bama fans are ranting and raving as Nick warns you and all this stuff. Well, how are they even talking to a guy that's not even in the transfer portal yet? That's what I want to know. I mean, come on.
Jeff,
I don't have the evidence. I'm just telling
you what I'm
hearing.
You know the answer to that, and there are many, many ways to communicate indirectly.
I mean, do all the coaches, should Ryan Day come out and make a stance and pronounce how he's going to do things if somebody else gets a couple recruits? I mean, old Saban arched his back up and got all pissy, and I guess the guy's going to break rules.
So,
hey,
Jeff,
else
do you
rules?
Think Ryan Day, or I think it was Ryan Day, picked up Justin Fields by osmosis?
Oh, yeah, it was all clean. I think Fields came up here because he wanted to play for the Buckeyes, Paul.
Sure.
Come on.
Guy that originally committed to Penn State.
I mean, but I just want to hear all the Bama fans explain that.
And then went to Georgia. He's from Georgia. He decided arbitrarily, I want to play for Ryan Day in his
he
first season.
He wanted to play for a real quarter. He wanted to play for a real quarterback, Coach Paul. He knew Kirby Smart couldn't develop quarterbacks. That's why he wanted to play for Ryan Day. You know that, and I know
listen,
that.
Listen, you guys have produced the quarterbacks. I can't argue there. Joe Burrow.
Well, yeah, we did.
Cardell Jones.
I mean, he was here, what, 3 years? Nobody
Troy
can
Smith.
Top the quarterback room they had that year.
Braxton Miller, you guys have churned out a bunch of Hall of Famers.
That's right.
Tate Martell.
Well, hell yeah, our third stringer beat down the Tide, if I remember.
Yeah, when was that, Jeff? 1896? Come on. I mean, the
no,
best you can do is throw something
years.
Against
I
the
think
wall
it was a third teamer.
From 2014. How pathetic. Thank you, Jeff. Man. We have an hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.